Father Leader FTL presents A Christian's Carol. I see a person at home all alone on Christmas. So much time has passed with people coming and going. The heart has grown cold because of the many desires of the heart never coming to fruition. Dreams never being fulfilled because of mistakes and fear. All alone on Christmas Eve, all there is left is a taste of bitterness and sorrow, and with their hope or hatred for this life. This person still believes in God, but has resentment and anger towards Him. This is a Christian's Carol. Maybe you can relate. When the clock turned midnight, the dark night of the soul was brightened by a light from heaven. So it seemed. There came into the bedroom a rich man from Abraham's bosom. He carried all this rich treasure like a chain to his body, dragging it into the room. He came to awaken the slumbering Christian. Quite fearful, the Christian covered its eyes with his blanket and said, "Why do you come to torture me? My life is in ruins. I gained the whole world but lost my soul." The rich man said, "I come on this Christmas Eve with a message of great shakening. Three spirits will come to you tonight and will show you your destiny. I am but a messenger too. I come from Abraham's bosom to tell you to avoid the heats of hell. I made my bed in the riches of this world, and I now lay in it in torment. So I hope tonight finds you well, for I long for just a cold, refreshing taste of water to cool my sorrow and my languishing pride." With these words, the rich man disappeared into the night sky out of the window. The Christian was startled by such a desperate dream, but thought nothing of it. Maybe just too much Christmas joe and chocolates. But then again, in the odd time of night, a great light showed and a spirit from heaven came down, called forgiveness past. Look, like a beautiful angel, when the Christian was violently awakened again. The bed shook the Christian out to the floor, and forgiveness past said, "It's time you get up from your past and move forward for what God has for you." But anger gripped the Christian's soul as remembrance of all the bad things that happened crept in again. Forgiveness past entered the Christian on a replay of all the good times of where God was present and where he was closest. The Christian's heart, for the first time in a while, became warm, remembering friends and family from long ago. But then he remembered the pain of trials and sufferings that weren't even the fault of the Christian. Things that could never be changed and prayers never answered. Pain and doubt left to suffer from within. The Christian asked forgiveness past to leave alone in the darkness of the soul, saying, "My past is too hard to swallow." Then suddenly the Christian is all alone in the room, dreary, laughing away such nonsense of a dream. Jumped right into bed as the eyes were getting droopy, suddenly another bright light entered the room. Even in a more beautiful angel, with a laughter and joy so strong that made the Christian happy. The spirit called itself forgiveness present, saying, "God is wanting to do a great thing for you now. Seek him today and live for him." The Christian became inspired as he saw in real time all the people that were blessed in the Christian's life. People at church, the homeless, at work, and great friendships that were blessed by the Christian's heart of service. But then came in all the pain and sorrow of people passing away, relationships that turned sorrow, ministries that failed, and leaders that have fallen. Oh, the Christian had turned its back on the body of Christ and lost faith in people and in God. The Christian told forgiveness present to please take me far away from this anguish of the soul. I am committed to live far away from people and from God. I don't want to hurt anymore. So many people I have failed and dreams broken that I thought God had for me. Then forgiveness present went from laughing with joy and gladness to sorrow and tears. Feeling the pain of this poor soul, interceding with loud groans that the Christian could never think to utter and reveal. Disappearing into a valley of dry bones, forgiveness present was gone, leaving the Christian in a dreadful state. This can't be a dream. It feels so real. As the Christian contemplates what has been happening this Christmas Eve, he looks down into the valley of bones and sees blood flowing like a stream underneath. Jumping in eerie expectations, the Christian tries to climb out of this dark valley. But then, a third spirit comes, calling itself Forgiveness Future. Hard to see its face like a mirror, very dim. The Christian is frightened. The spirit points to the blood in the valley where dry bones lay, saying, "Look, there on the hill, there lies an old rugged cross." The Christian is terrified as this verse comes to mind. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. If we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. The Spirit then brought the Christian to those who needed to see what a testimony looked like but didn't get the chance. So many people in the Christian life that were neglected and went to suffer because of the Christian's pride and indifference. Family members that never heard a "I'm sorry." Church members that never got a "thank you." Friends that never received affirmation. Enemies who were never able to get past offenses. Lastly, forgiveness future brought the Christian to a terrible grave in judgment. Reading on the tombstone were such unspeakable words. It read, "I never knew you, O Christian." The Christian cried out with tears to forgiveness future, saying, "Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name." Then a voice from the old rugged cross on the valley said, "Depart from me, you who break God's laws. Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." Such sorrow entered the Christian's heart. With an unspeakable darkness and separation, a gnashing of teeth gripped the Christian, realizing the tombstone was in the bloody valley of dry bones. Quickly realizing the ground was sinking in, the Christian cried out, "Please, save me. I don't want to leave so much undone. Let me have another chance to make recompense and to love once again. I still want to know him, not only in the power of his resurrection, but in the fellowship of his sufferings." Then, at last gasp, the Christian heard from the cross, "Can these dry bones live again?" The Christian was then suddenly awakened. A Christian mourns light, bumping his head on the wall in sheer joy and panic. The Christian jumps to the window where the rich man of Abraham's bosom had left on Christmas Eve, opened the window with tears of gracious reflection. The Christian shouts, "Yes, the dry bones can live again." On this Christmas morn, come, Lord Jesus, be born in me again. Anchor your incorruptible seed in me. Cause me to live again. Take my dead works and guilt, and please help me make everything work for my good again. And so the Christian never looked back again at his past as baggage, nor the present as something to avoid. Oh, and the future is too wonderful to tell, because we are his children. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to cry out, "Abba, Father." On this Christmas morn, be born again, O Christian, into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. You always were. God bless us, everyone.